Hi, I'm Marie Crowe and welcome back to Green Ball, the Irish cricket podcast show. In this episode, we'll be talking to Ireland head coach Ed Joyce and Ireland captain Laura Delaney. We will look back and discuss the summer of 2022, the Women's World T20 qualifiers in Abu Dhabi and a groundbreaking tour to Pakistan, while there is the T20 World Cup in South Africa to look forward to in 2023. So let's get on with the show and speak to Ed and Laura. Ed, thank you very much for coming into HBV Studios. Usually we're used to seeing you on Zoom as you've been travelling the world. It's been a great year for the Irish women's cricket team. What was your highlight?
Three big highlights. Winning the game against South Africa earlier in the year was a great start to that series for us. I think there was a lot of anticipation among the squad and the management team about going into that series, and then to win that first game and get a win on the board was really satisfying and for the team, and gave them a lot of confidence. Now the rest of that series didn't go as well as we hoped it would, but as I said, getting that win on the board was massive for us. Then we had a lot of good results over the rest of the summer. A really big series against Australia and Pakistan, which was rain affected up in Breedy. But I thought we did okay in those games, and so the team came on, and then the qualifiers came along, and obviously that was probably the biggest thing for us this year, is to try and get into a World Cup. Haven't been there for a while, and the team hadn't been, and I hadn't been there with the women's team either, so obviously desperate to get into that T20 World Cup, and the team performed really, really well out there, under pressure as well, and things didn't go all our way, but we still sort of got through on that, so really proud of the team there. And then obviously we had a big tour to Pakistan, where we struggled at the start, coming out of our slight winter and having played a load of T20, we struggled in the ODIs, that longer format of the game, but then to come back and win the T20 series 2-1 in those conditions was an incredible effort. So they'd probably be the three big highlights for me, and that's lots of highlights. Hopefully there's three big highlights for next year as well. It'd be great.
Absolutely, and we're going to get into your hopes and dreams for next year later on. But for now, let's look back. So when you think of the Super Series and when it was on, what was your mindset going into it, just given the fact that it was a good platform for the women?
Well, it's a really important competition for us because it's, we're trying to put a lot of emphasis on performances in that competition to, first of all, get into squads, things like the performance squad, which had 21 of the players in it this year. Hoping to expand that a little bit next year would be great, because that's a squad that has all the access to the S&Cs and the gym and all that kind of stuff, as well as obviously the training and the coaching and stuff like that. We put a lot of emphasis on performances in that competition, and so it's really important that the players understand how important it is to us, and trying to have a training program for the three teams. Now we went from two to three teams in the last year, so that's it's a big competition for us, and as I said, the best players do tend to do really well in that, and Gabby obviously did brilliantly in it, and it's great to see our premier batter doing really well in that competition and being really greedy for runs, and it shows the rest of the girls what they need to do. So as I said, big emphasis on that, and hopefully we can expand that training program next year for that competition. It'll be the same playing program. It's tricky enough to fit in the games around all the club cricket and the international stuff as well, and asking a lot of the girls, which is why the contracts are so important. But those fringe players on the team find it very difficult to commit to the training and the travel, especially the girls from the north and the northwest who have to go further than lots of the other players. Not many of the games are up there either, so they are always travelling. So we're very aware of that as well, and trying to ease that burden, albeit I'm not sure we're going to be able to do that this year. So there's a lot of challenges around that competition, but it is really, really important for us as a sort of step between the club cricket and international stage.
Do you feel there's awareness now within the community, the cricket community here in Ireland, of the pathway and the importance of getting onto that stage?
Yeah, I think there is. I think it's becoming clearer, I think, to the players themselves, and what we're trying to do is any young girls coming into the competition, that Super Series, well, just club cricket first, trying to get as many players playing club cricket as possible, and hopefully some new clubs playing the game as well, and broaden that base a bit, because it is quite a narrow base at the moment. Dublin club cricket's reasonably strong with, I think there's eight Premier League teams there, but we need more players from Northern Ireland and other parts of the the country so that we have just more players. You know, more players tends to up the standards of the senior team. So we would love to do that, and that's about bringing the game around the country and hopefully playing more Super Series games up in Northern Ireland, which we did last year, and that made a big difference. So yeah, just I think they do. And as I said, the important thing is anyone new coming can see if they play or do well in club cricket, they'll get a Super Series team. They do well in that competition, they can get into squads, and then obviously there's that carrot of contracts at the end of it as well if they really want to go down that route. So hoping that's pretty clear at this stage.
That's brilliant though, isn't it, to have that pathway, because even when you think about your sisters and when they were starting out and playing and not having those opportunities, to see that progress being made, and you know, even for the next generation and the generation after that, the progress that's going to be made is fantastic. But just even in terms of just the practicalities of it, because you're seeing it, like you're there in the thick of it. We're just sitting back watching and seeing results on the big stage. But what's it meant for you as a coach to know that you have access to them now and that they're professional players?
Well, it's incredibly satisfying watching the games. That's where I get, you know, you get your, I do a lot of the batting coaching, and Glenn Quirrell, who's the assistant coach, does most of the bowling, and then the two of us kind of come together and do all the fielding. But even from the S&C's point of view, he's seeing massive improvements in all areas, you know, and he obviously watches from a different sort of lens as well. So, you know, from my end, obviously you're watching the results and seeing the team improve from game to game. And it is one of the great things about the job is, because it's such a young group, and I think the ceiling hasn't nearly been reached yet, you do see those improvements really, really quickly. So that's very gratifying to watch, you know. And just from the batting side, which is mainly what I would watch, is trying to give freedom to the players. And again, the younger players find that easier because they don't have any, you know, burdens from what happened previously, or any, you know, it's always the way, whether it's in the men's game or the women's game, you know, those younger players seem to be able to take the game on. But you know, some great seeing, you know, players like Laura and Mary as well, who are more senior, really taking that sort of on board as well and buying into the whole, you know, playing with freedom and stuff like that. So I think that's the great thing for me to watch. I can't even remember the first question you asked there, but you know, I really enjoy watching the team and the progress that we make. And you asked about professional players, that's what it was. I think that the tricky thing for us is still trying to deal with players on different, and as I'm sure it's the same in any sport, but we probably have 6 or 7 really full-time players who actually can make it to every session, and they're full-time professional cricketers. Then, you know, we have some other players, you know, including, you know, Gabby and Leah, who are, you know, on the top level of contracts, but they're still in university or on placement and things like that. So they're on a different level and they can't actually get to stuff. So we have training sessions on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights and Monday night, you know, different types of things on Monday nights. We still doing stuff on Saturday mornings, because if we don't do that, the girls won't be able to train enough, you know. So it's tricky putting together a program that works for everyone, and I think that's something that hopefully eases over time. We get more fully professional players who you know, you can have more of a, they do more stuff during the day when it's easier to recover, and they, all those kind of things. So, but as I said, it's enjoyable putting that program together, because you can see the results at the end of it, the team's doing so well.
What would you like to see happen? Like, how would you like to, what kind of environment would you like to be coaching in terms of access to players that's realistic? What do you think the landscape is going to look like in the next few years for you as head coach?
I think Cricket Ireland and the team and the players have done brilliantly. You know, I think the last couple of years, I think we've done everything we possibly could in terms of making the team as professional as possible, and, you know, getting the training program. You know, we've made mistakes like anyone else, but I think we've done as good a job as we could have done, to be honest with you. As I said, the next few years we will have some players coming out of university and potentially coming out of school and saying they want to defer university and stuff like that and be cricketers. And that's the challenge there, is funding, I guess, you know. So those players who come out of university would then go on to full contracts, and can we fund that? I mean, that's obviously a decision higher than me, but obviously be pushing for that. And the same thing with the girls from school, and it's just trying to broaden that number of players who we have access to full time, pretty much full time. And then, you know, you don't worry about availability for tours, and you're not worried about recovery, you know. So for instance, this evening there's a fielding session between 8 and 9 at the Institute on the rugby pitches, and then tomorrow morning is a session starting at 9 o'clock at North County. You know, I don't think that's ideal, but it is what it is. You know, you just have to get on with that. So hopefully over time we can sort of ease those pressures. People can recover properly, you've no problems with availability, which is definitely lessening. And you know, but I think we're still always going to have players in school and college and stuff like that, and that's absolutely fine. I'll be advising people to go to college for sure.
Well, it feels like it's trending in the right direction. And you mentioned the playing pool and trying to widen that. And I'm sure there's a big focus on grassroots. But how much value do you put then on the success at the top as well, just in terms of trying to grow what's happening at the bottom?
Yeah, it's really important. I think the younger players definitely need their heroes, and you know, the more coverage you get on, you know, on TV and radio and stuff like that's really, really important. So that win against South Africa, I know it's the only win in the sort of T20 or ODI series, but it was really important for the team to give them a bit of belief that they could beat the, you know, those top teams. And as I said, like, we had the Merion Cricket Club put on a sort of congratulations to the players who were involved from Merion in the tour to Pakistan the other day, and there were some of the young players there, and you could see that it meant a lot to them to look at, you know, those girls, and I play with them in club cricket, and they've gone to Pakistan and won, and you know, you can see that makes a big difference. So I think that's really, really important. It's both important. You need to grow the grassroots. Mm-hmm. You need everything in between to be, you know, as good as it can be. But you definitely need those wins at the top level, because if you don't get those, you just don't get the coverage, and you don't have the, as I said, the heroes that the younger players need.
Yeah, the can't see can't be. It really does ring true. Yeah. So you mentioned South Africa, that win being a big highlight for you. What was the catalyst for that, do you think?
Good question. I think, you know, I keep looking back at the COVID times and thinking that actually wasn't the worst thing for this team, because we were still allowed to train during most of that period, and it gave us a massive training block, which we hadn't had, and I don't think we'd have been able to do the things that we did without that sort of pressure taken away of games. So I think we got a lot of skills work and S&C work and stuff during that period done that we wouldn't have been able to do. So I think that gave us a really good base. I'm not saying that's why we won that first game, and I think South Africa have played better. You know, obviously they looked at that and went, you know, they've got to improve. So they improved in the other five games. But I think the catalyst was just having a really good block behind the team, and the senior players stood up and did really well in that game. And we've got to remember, obviously, we were without some of our sort of A-contracted girls in that game and for the rest of that series. And the players that came in did so well to win. So I'd say the catalyst was that big block, and as the senior players doing really, really well.
Was it difficult then that you weren't able to maybe follow it up in the short term with another really good performance?
Yeah, I was disappointed with the rest of the series, but I wasn't particularly surprised. You know, South Africa are a top team. They have brilliant players. You know, they've a bowler in Shabni Ismail who the players just wouldn't have faced very much. Maybe one or two of them would. So it's things like that you need to expose the players to, so they understand, you know, what needs to be done, and then understand why you're putting them under pressure in training and stuff like that, and then they can get better. And as I said, you definitely need to fail to get better at stuff. And I think the team has responded every time we've not had a good performance. The team responds, and I think that's a really good sign for the group of players we have.
So then we're talking about trying to get the experience and learning from the disappointments. When you look at Brady and Pakistan and Australia, what do you learn from those experiences?
Well, we learnt that, you know, the Pakistan game is one we really, really should have won. We were in a great position, and we came across, they were very clever in the way they went about. Pakistan, they were way behind in the game, and they have one or two critical bowlers, Nita Dar being one of them, and she bowled in a certain way to us that we didn't respond very well to. But again, there's no expectation that would happen. I'm not going to go into what she did, but the, you know, our younger players didn't respond to it in the game, and T20 is... You can, you know, a couple of overs there sort of put us massively under pressure, and we didn't quite get over the line. But again, I think like the learning from that was, if she does this, you've got all these options, and then the players have gone out and done it. So, you know, we went into that series in Pakistan, and you saw the players responding when she tried to do it again straight away. We knew what to do. You know, that's a team learning on the job, and it was really impressive to see. So, And then the Australia game, I think it's just looking at the best team in the world. You know, they're unbelievable athletes from 1 to 15 there. Some of the, you know, some massive names, and you could see them, the work they were putting in, and the discussions they were having before a game against Ireland in Breedy, you know, which potentially isn't the biggest game in their calendar, but is for us, you know, and they were still the same professional group as they would always be. And it's just watching them field, a big thing for us is the fielding and athleticism, and I think that we've got some way to go on that. But again, the team's working really hard, and then being able to see the best team in the world doing what they do. So, but again, we put in actually a pretty good performance in that. You know, Georgina came into the last game there and against Australia and bowled brilliantly. Orla Prendergast batted really well up the top of the order there, and there were loads of other good performances. You know, it was little bits where they say, well, actually, I can live at this level. Maybe I'm just not consistent enough, or I need to add this shot to my game, or I need to have a slower ball, or things like that. So there'd be more games we play like that, and as long as we don't get too disenchanted by not maybe winning against the top teams, as long as we're learning, and then that'll set us up for the maybe the teams more around our current level, and then we can push on and hopefully get closer to those top teams over the next few years.
You mentioned the athleticism there of the Australian team. Is that S&C work? Is that having the time to put in heavy blocks of work and maybe even have programs for younger players, so when they are coming through, they're at a different level, or at a similar level, I should say, to the really top teams?
Yeah, the S&C is massive, you know, and that's one of the... I'd love to have S&C programs, not just for that senior performance squad. That's I think we're really missing out there. That's just a personnel thing. We just haven't got the numbers to actually be able to do that, but that's something I would love to be able to do as soon as possible. So we sort of end up we would take into account bringing a player into a performance squad because we feel they need to have access to that side of things. So, you know, I'd love to have 40 players in that performance squad just to have access to that, but we can't, you know, we've only got a certain number of coaches to be able to facilitate that. But yeah, the S&C is massive. Every player has different things that they're good at naturally, or, you know, and it's easier for some girls run really fast and some can jump high and some can move laterally really well. And then you try and look at what they need to work on. And then the S&C has a bit of fun trying to help with any one of those things. So that's huge in the fielding bit. But it's also just volume of catching and, different types of catching. There's a lot of technique involved. And then it's how much time you can spend on that, because you need to spend loads of time on the fielding and the bowling and batting bit as well. So I definitely think we're not the finished article in the field at all. I think we've lots of work to do. But again, it's playing against Australia and being able to watch games back on TV and being able to show the team, this is what's happening, that we did this really well, but we need to get better at that. And then they can see it and go, okay, well, let's go and do that. So, the big blocks are really good for that, because you can actually spend a lot of time on it.
So then to go on and have 2 series win against Holland and then go to Edinburgh and beat Scotland, you're talking about trying not to get too disenchanted when you're coming up against really strong teams and it's going to be difficult. But what do you take away from wins like those ones?
We take a lot away from them, because Holland and Scotland are obviously closest neighbours and big rivals, and they have good cricketers. The Scotland girls now have some contracts coming in as well, so that'll improve their team. What we did before those series is we put the team under quite a lot of pressure. I said I want to beat both of these teams well, and it's no disrespect to Scotland or Holland, but they sort of trying to take the pressure off in the games against the teams higher in the rankings against us, but put the pressure on against them, because I wanted us to almost try and play with, that we should win. Again, the team went out and did that. So that was, again, I was absolutely chuffed about both of those series, especially the Netherlands one, because their ODI is a long format of the game, and I was asking the girls to go out and play long innings, get big scores, don't give it away, being able to bowl for long periods and field well for long periods. And, we won those games really comfortably against a pretty good team who'd run us really, really close in the 50-over qualifiers last year. So that was really, really satisfying. And then and obviously the Scotland series was a big one for us because we felt we'd probably play them in the qualifiers just after the T20 World Cup qualifiers, because they're a good team. And I think we went out and played the way, especially with the bat, the way we wanted to. And it was sort of just reinforcing that that's what we want to do, even when we're under pressure. And we went and did that. So I was as happy about those two performances. I know I didn't mention them in the highlights, mm-hmm. but actually they're as important as anything else.
It was such a busy time. I mean, you're traveling so much, so many games, moving from the next thing to the mm-hmm. next thing to prepare for Abu Dhabi. So how did the squad adjust to being so busy and then having to go off to those World Cup T20 qualifiers, because it was a lot.
It was a lot, and those conditions were absolutely mental. Like it was, we knew 40 to 42 degrees heat out there, so that's sauna stuff, you know. So I think the team again deserves huge credit for the preparation they did there. We did a lot of, I didn't do any of it, but they were in, you know, they were at the Institute in the, I think it's a sauna there, which is, you know, cranked up to sort of 70, 80 degrees, apparently. I couldn't quite believe it, but apparently it is. And, you know, doing that for 30, 40 minutes, a good few times a week. And again, our S&C putting that in place and telling the girls, this will help us further down the line. And why are we doing this? And, mm-hmm. you know, he's trying to explain it. But then the players went away and actually did it. And it actually did make a big difference out there, because that heat was just oppressive. And I was only standing watching the game. Or sitting watching the game, and obviously the players out there. And I think, you know, you could see, I think a good example was Orla and Gabby batting against Scotland in that, you know, obviously they're all crucial games, but a big game, and having a big partnership, doing a huge amount mm-hmm. of running between the wicket and with all that kit on is, I don't know if you've ever put all the, you know, batting kit on, as well as obviously long trousers and stuff, in that heat, it's not particularly pleasant. But they were able to get mm-hmm. through it, and then obviously field for the 20 overs afterwards. So it really did make a difference. And I think some of those teams who didn't get the opportunity to do that, I mean, Scotland would be a good example. They arrived and played a game against PNG just after they arrived, and they really struggled in that heat. Now, we all struggled. Mm. I think that sort of, you know, some of their girls were really, really struggling, you know, and we didn't quite, we never got that. We, you know, there was
you were conditioned
there
to
was
it.
No, yeah, yeah, we were conditioned to it again. So I think that was a big learning, that actually mm. that worked. And then we went to Pakistan, which was, I say, only 28 to 30 degrees, but it actually felt cool there. Like yeah. it was really, really pleasant and nice, and there was no issues at all with that. So I think the preparation for that, and that's nothing to do with me, that's the team and the S&C doing, you know, putting that in place, and actually, you know, as I said, it made a massive difference yeah. as much as anything else.
Again, it just shows the value of having that professionalism and yeah. expertise there.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, so a great management team, you know, don't get the credit a lot of the time they deserve, but, you know, we have any injuries in the qualifiers. We had niggles, you know, you obviously mm-hmm. get niggles, but nothing that kept a player from playing as well. So it's a huge credit to our physio and S&C for that.
What was the highlight from Abu Dhabi?
Definitely the Zimbabwe game. You know, that was, I don't like the format, because, you know, you get to a semi-final and it's a must-win game. And I thought, you know, you can not play well in a group stage and then win a one-off game and get into a World Cup. But I think it'd be fair to say ourselves and Zimbabwe had played pretty good cricket up to mm-hmm. that, deserved to be in that. And a playoff then actually wasn't the worst thing, you know. So it was a very good performance, because we didn't bat possibly as well as we could have at mm-hmm. the top. They're a good team, Zimbabwe. And then obviously Rebecca Stokel came in and played really, really well in a role that she hasn't done very much. But again, was unbelievably brave with the bat, got us to a competitive total. And, you know, I hate singling out people, but Jane Maguire then bowled in the first power play. I think she bowled three overs for not very many runs, and that's the hardest time to bowl. And this is a 19, 20-year-old we're talking about here, you know, who just went mm-hmm. out and did it, you know. So it's, again, absolutely brilliant to see that. So you feel like, you know, the sky's the limit for some of those players, which is brilliant, you know. So that game, and then holding the nerve at the end, obviously Arlene Kelly's come, you know, she's a New Zealander with an Irish passport, but she's come in and felt like she's been around for years, and she bowled unbelievably at the death. It's a lovely thing having someone you know who has got, you know, great mentality mm-hmm. and has the skill level to do that at the end, and the skipper always puts herself under pressure to bowl that last over. So, you know, huge credit to Laura for doing that. And you know, it was a tight game, but it was much better winning some of those tight games, you know, and actually coming down to the wire. And again, that's another experience for the team.
So what were your goals then heading on the tour of Pakistan?
We definitely felt like we had the we felt like they were a team on our on, you know, that we could compete really, really mm-hmm. well with. Our goals were to certainly get some wins. I still don't think we're at the place at maybe, you know, Pakistan are a good few ranking places ahead of us. So I didn't want to put too much pressure on the team, but I did also think we could get some wins. I was talking to Andrew Leonard, who was out there, mm-hmm. you know, commentating on it, and he said, you know, what he actually asked me exactly the same question before the first game. And I was like, I'm quite confident we'll do well here. And then the ODIs didn't go well, but I think that just, you know, some of our batting was fine and some of our bowling was fine and some of the fielding was fine, but we just, 50 over cricket, you need to do those things against good teams. You need to do the basics very well for very long periods, and we didn't quite get that right, but we did get better as we went along. But the team stayed really tight and, you know, upbeat and stuff like that, even though those were tough losses. Thought we would compete better in the T20s because we played a load of it, and we were, mm-hmm. you know, we were just more used to playing that format and had more experience in the more recent past, and obviously ran Pakistan really close. So in Derry during the summer. So again, you just want to get that win on the board, and that first T20 was massive for us. Once you get that win on the board, I really felt like we could go on and win 3. You know, I thought we could win 3-0, and we could easily have won 3-0 apart from a really good innings by one of their players in the second game. So yeah, my expectation was to compete and to hopefully win a few games, but to win the series was an incredible achievement.
It really was. Was it difficult when the ODIs hadn't gone well to kind of to rally everybody again and to, I suppose, make them believe that there was still opportunities there?
No, it didn't feel like that because I don't think the group had their heads down too much. I think they know it's a learning experience in that format against the teams above us in the rankings, because they just, as I said, it shows, that format shows, if you're not as, you know, don't have your skills completely nailed on for long periods. And as I said, we're not quite there yet against those top teams. Obviously, we performed really well against mm-hmm. the Netherlands in that format, and we've had some good performances, but we just potentially don't have that consistency yet. And we're going to obviously try and do as much as we can to remedy that. So never felt like the team was too down, to mm-hmm. be fair. And there was, you know, a couple of changes in the team sometimes, you know, between the two formats, you know, means that some of the girls who are coming in don't have any of that baggage from losing the ODI series. But as I said, the T20s, I feel like you can go out and express yourself with the bat, and it's a shorter period as well with the ball and in the field, and you can potentially get yourself not up for it. I don't mean the girls weren't up for it in the ODIs, but it's just easier to expend all that energy over two or 3 hours rather than six yeah. or seven.
So what pleased you most then about the performances?
It was the freedom we played with the bat, yeah.
Because that's nearly your philosophy now, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. And it is. It's easy to say that. Yeah. We have the players to do it. I think mm-hmm. that's the really exciting thing from my point of view. You've got a 17-year-old opening the batting with a 22-year-old, you know, which is, and then a, you know, and then a,
which is still very young.
A 19-year-old coming yeah. in at 3, you know. Yeah. So those three, again, but they have the skill to do it as well. They're really exciting players, and I think they can be world-class, you know. So that's, as well as several of other players as well, but the three of them obviously can go out and that's why they're up there, is to take the game on, and they did it, you know. So it's not that easy to go out there and, you know, almost it's devaluing your wicket a little bit, because cricket is always taught that, you know, you defend your wicket first and then you score second, and, you know, we're almost telling them that actually you need to go and take the game on and forget about your wicket a little bit. And as I said, seeing the players do that was great. But then, as I said, we did really well, and it's sort of that batting order coming seems like it's getting, what's the word I'm looking for? the players seem to know their roles really, really well now, you know. So the skipper comes in four and she knows what she's going to do. And then, you know, we have Emma Richardson coming in there as well, who's obviously a senior player and batted really, really well and comes in seamlessly to the team. And then Rebecca Stokel as well there, you know, learning that role down the order. I think Louise Little came in and made a big impact. She didn't really get a chance to bat her ball much, but she fielded absolutely brilliantly, and fair play to her. And she's someone, you know, we want to do really well as well. So, and then obviously with the bowling in T20, the girls definitely know their roles a bit better maybe than what they do in the 50 over game. And sort of having Arlene at the end there, Cara Murray's an up and coming leg spinner as well, so she's doing brilliantly. So Emma said, I think it's more role clarity as much as anything else.
And I'd imagine that takes a little bit of time as well. So it really captured the imagination of the people back home as well. Were you aware over there that there was so much interest in how you were getting on?
Yeah, we were. Yeah, I think that's a great thing as well for us. Yes, because, you know, the team being in Pakistan, it's fairly exotic, isn't it? Mm. Not many sports teams from Ireland go to Pakistan. Not many sports teams at all would have been there recently.
Because, and there was a little turmoil in the political landscape as well.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. When a day or two after we landed, you know, obviously Imran Khan was shot, and you know, there's already a very tight security around the team. You know, we've got bomb-proof buses and can't leave the hotel and stuff like that. So it was very tight, but it didn't feel like that when we were there. They looked after us absolutely brilliantly. And you know, the team was very, very happy to be there, and the cricket was fantastic, the food was great, all those kind of things. So they did look after us brilliantly, so it's nothing from their end. But I think just because of the nature of the tour and where we were going, and there's always a bit of apprehension that it was, you know, as I said, the performances at the end meant even more. And you do get a good indication from Twitter about, you know, how big things are and how much people have taken an interest. But, you know, people were saying, we saw the stuff on RTE, and the fact that cricket, any cricket is on the front page of an RTE website is great, you know what I mean? And especially the women's team as well. So we were well up there, and that's obviously massive for the group as well.
Yeah, it helps with everything from the grassroots to sponsorship to contracts to whatever is going to be happening. 2023 is going to be so busy, a bit like 2022 actually. So the T20 World Cup in South Africa, what are preparations looking like from your side?
That's one of the big challenges for us, is what we do in our winter. And we have an indoor school at North County that we have use of, which is great. But, you know, trying to practice realistically is very tricky. So we've got a 5-day camp in Spain in January, which is great. You know, hopefully get on grass over there. You know, the weather can be a bit iffy over there as well in January, so we're fingers crossed that we can do that. And then we do have a really good lead in for a couple of weeks while we're in South Africa. We have some good warm-up games, and you know, we should have great facilities. It's an amazing place to go and tour and play cricket in. So you know, and then we have, you know, four big games in the group stage there, which we're really looking forward to. And I think a World Cup at this stage for this team is something we should try and enjoy as much as possible, not put too much pressure on the group, albeit, you know, we've just played Pakistan there in our group and we performed really well against them. So there's absolutely no reason why we should fear playing against them. And, you know, we've got the West Indies, who are sort of, you know, lower in the rankings, albeit, you know, a really, really good team. And you know, I think we can compete really well against them. And then two very tough games. They're all tough games, but England and India, you know, probably two of the top three teams in the world. And you know, they'll be learning experiences, albeit I really hope we can compete really well with them if we keep doing the things we've practiced. So, as big thing for me is that we actually enjoy that sort of 3-4 weeks away, and you know, it's not just about the cricket, it's about some of the stuff around the outside as well, and actually trying to get some, you know, away days and you know, it's a chance to go on safaris and stuff like that. I think we should actually do those things, you know, because you know, we've just come from Pakistan, which is a great place to tour, but we didn't really see any of it, you know. And
I think Roy Keane was asked over the last few days what's his favourite memories of the World Cup, and he said it was 1994, and that when they had days off they got to go to water parks. So there you go. It is important.
Yeah, it is really important, because they're a long time away and you're in a hotel, and you know, the World Cups tend to have lots of families and stuff at them as well. So I know lots of parents and stuff will be going out, and probably siblings and supporters and stuff like that, and it's good to mingle with and actually get away from the hotel and get away from the cricket a bit, and you tend to be able to do that, because World Cups, you get a bit more time in between games and a bigger lead in. So as I said, the cricket's really, really important. You know, we want us to do really well out there and you know, hopefully perform well. But as I said, it's as much about the stuff around as well. And then we'll get back into the, well, not as, you know, into the putting pressure on the team maybe after that again.
Okay, well, lots to look forward to. Thank you so much for coming in and congratulations on a brilliant year. So before we finish up, the last thing, you said that you had three major highlights from 2022. You're hoping for three major highlights from 2023. What would you like them to be?
I'd love them to be some wins of the World Cup. That'd be absolutely brilliant. You know, again, that would get us a lot of media coverage, but it'll give the team, more importantly, a lot of belief and hopefully get more women and girls playing the game over here, which is obviously really important. We have a huge series against the West Indies next summer, where we go to the West Indies. And again, that's going to be a place a lot of the girls haven't toured before. And again, I just want to see the team keep growing into that series and hopefully compete really well over there. As I said, that's as much as anything is seeing the team improve. And I think just over the years, from my own point of view, is trying to make sure that we keep being ambitious and we keep trying to do new things and we keep trying to improve and we don't just rest on our laurels, because we're definitely not at a stage where, well, no team is. But I think that'd be a big thing from my point of view.
Yeah, it really feels like there is lots of exciting things to come. Ed, thank you very much for coming in and we'll see you soon.
Thanks so much.
Now, I am delighted to be joined by Ireland cricket captain Laura Delaney. Laura, we're coming to the end of 2022. It's hard to believe that it's nearly over. A lot has happened, a lot of cricket. What for you has been the highlight?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I feel like we've played a lot of cricket, particularly over the last number of weeks. I think the highlight for us would have been qualifying for the World Cup in South Africa in February. We had our qualifiers there in Abu Dhabi at the start of September. And I think a lot of our fixtures this summer circled around that and making sure that the team were well prepared and in the best position possible to qualify, which we did. Mm-hmm. And then I think following that is just our recent tour to Pakistan. So
such a busy time. It's been a different year though for you guys as well, like kind of off the field a lot's been happening, just in terms of getting those semi-professional contracts. Have you found that made a difference?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose going back to March when full-time contracts were brought in, I was actually injured at the time. And I think there's 15 of us that are on retainer contracts and then everyone else in the squad is on a non-retainer contract. But outside of having the contract, it just gives us more contact time with their coaches. It means anyone that is injured is in a position to come out, touch base with their physio and S&C nearly every day to get back as soon as possible. And I think outside of that, then making sure that we have full availability for any tours that we go on. So I think the full-time contracts have been a massive step in the right direction, and I do think our performances on the pitch have reflected that.
Yeah, they absolutely have. I mean, it's all about just being able to do the work and then recover as well, because that's so important. Just in terms of the work that you've done with Ed, like, he's been in the job now a little while, and it feels like that with every passing maybe season, year, whatever way you want to put it, that the squad are improving all the time.
Yeah, and I think looking back at the start of the summer, the girls had a home series against South Africa. We won one T20 against South Africa. Then we led into a series against Scotland. We beat Scotland in all three games. And likewise then against Holland, and we had a clean sweep there again. So I think with every performance, we're growing as a team. And as I said, that definitely has reflected in our performances as a team. But just as individuals, it's amazing to see the girls up their game and compete with some of the best players in the world.
What about the pressure that comes with that, though? Like the fact that you know that there's now an expectation on your performance, and I guess you're being judged a little bit differently now as well.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one thing that we spoke about as a group at the start, that a lot of people will be judging us by outcomes or performance. All we can do really is focus on our processes. And I think we've done a lot of work with Anne-Marie, our sports psychologist, in terms of making sure that we have routines in place. And that's what we're trying to judge ourselves on, is how well we execute our routines. If we can stick to them and be as diligent as possible, the outcome will take care of itself. So yeah, I think, look, there's obviously, once you become a professional athlete, everyone has their opinion and they're entitled to that. As a team, we're trying to stay away from that as much as possible and just focus on what we can control.
That must be the dream though, Laura, to be a professional athlete.
Yeah, I think we're all so incredibly fortunate to be in the position that we're in, to wake up in the morning and to know that you're going to either go out to North County or the HPC, which is such a professional setup, and train and, I suppose, improve your skills, but just give yourself an opportunity to be the best version of yourself as an athlete is amazing. And yeah, I think we're incredibly fortunate to be in the position that we're in, and we're all just relishing the opportunity.
So tell us about the injury, because it did keep you out of action for quite some time.
Yeah, I had a hamstring injury that I sustained not last summer, the summer before, and we had the ICC Championship and the ODI qualifiers in Zimbabwe last November. When I got back from that, we saw the consultant and it was a little bit more serious than we had hoped for, and unfortunately it did keep me out of the game for longer than expected. But I think one of the benefits of having full-time contracts meant that I could be in the gym with Catherine and Gregor S&C to give me the best opportunity to come back as quick as possible, which was mid-summer, and thankfully I haven't had an issue with it since. So yes.
That must be great, though, to have that peace of mind, to know that you can just focus on your recovery, that you're not under the pressure maybe to get back and play, because you know that there's a bigger picture there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you're an amateur sports person, you're trying to balance possibly working full time or studying full time and then trying to get into your physio, do your S&C sessions, and then something, and unfortunately at times something has to give, whereas now we're in a position to just prioritize our recovery fully, and I think going forward it's going to get the best out of our athletes.
So you mentioned the tour to Pakistan has been one of the highlights. You were really in the headlines, totally captured the imagination of the people back here at home. What was that like for you guys?
It was an unbelievable experience. I think going over there, I know personally I didn't really have huge expectations, and I don't think the girls did either. Before we went out, we had a call with Cricket Ireland, and the Department of Foreign Affairs were also on that call. So we knew going out to Pakistan, there would be different challenges that we'd face. The security issue was one thing that was on the back of our minds. But as soon as we got over there, the PCB went to every length to try and make us feel as comfortable and secure as possible. We had an opportunity to train and play in the Gaddafi Stadium, which was amazing. It was an amazing experience. But we also had a TV there. So when the men were playing over in Australia, in between our sessions, we were able to follow them, which was brilliant. But yeah, I thought we adapted quite well. We found the ODI series tough going. But as soon as we switched into the T20 format, I thought we rectified anything that we wanted to, and we definitely put our mark on the T20 performance.
How did you do that? Because it's not an easy thing, especially when maybe things hadn't gone to plan in the couple of weeks beforehand.
Yeah, we were definitely clear about what our plans were when it came to ODI cricket. A lot of girls had never played none of us had played in Pakistan before, but in those types of conditions, the ball turned a lot more. In fairness, they were really good batting pitches. But I think that was one challenge as a team we faced. And then secondly, trying to adapt quite quickly. It's great having your plans, but when you play against better players, they're going to come up with a plan B and plan C very quickly, and we have to be able to do that as well. So that was one thing that we found tough going, but we spoke a lot as a team, and I do think going into the T20 series, we were really clear on areas that we wanted to execute and areas that we wanted to exploit.
There's a lot of young players on your squad as well. How have they adapted to, I guess, life as cricketers, life on the road, everything that comes with it?
Yeah, I think they're relishing the opportunity, similar to ourselves. But for them, I envy their position to come into a professional situation and to have access to such brilliant coaches, but also training facilities, means that they're only going to grow as players and at a rapid rate, which is great to see. We saw Amy Hunter and Orla Prendergast, two of our top order batters, perform incredibly well against Pakistan, and having, I suppose, played in those conditions and come out of it now, that will give them huge confidence going into the T20 World Cup in February.
It almost, all of it, all the experiences though, like the good and the bad, the wins and the losses, just everything that came with the last year, will all stand you in good stead, I'd imagine, now heading into 2023.
Yeah, I think we're incredibly united as a team, and that has definitely spoken in our performances. There's definitely areas that we want to improve on, but I think as a group we're growing day in, day out, and that's all you can really ask for. It's easy to become quite outcome focused and judge yourself on, I suppose, how much you win or lose. But for us, as I said, we're trying to focus on how well and disciplined we are when it comes to our routines. And we're confident that if we stick to those, then the outcome will take care of itself. But we also know that we're going to face some tricky and challenging oppositions over the next couple of months, which we welcome. And as a group, you're only going to get better if you're facing better sides.
Yeah, I think that's probably the key, really, isn't it? Just to consistently be facing better teams and then try and improve performance all of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of our success in Pakistan was down to the fact that we had so many fixtures this summer. It gave players a real opportunity to go out and bat in a number that they may not have batted in previously, but to experience that and to bowl more overs against better players. And ultimately, it all counts. So yeah, I think having more fixtures has been brilliant for us as a team as well.
So what are you looking forward to most about 2023?
I think just the direction that this team are heading in. I think there's so much potential within the group, and we saw glimpses of it throughout the summer. But when we all fire as individuals, I think this team is just going to go from strength to strength. The T20 World Cup in February in South Africa is massively exciting for us. We missed out on the last T20 World Cup, so we're itching to get over there. And then we have some fixtures later on in the summer, which I don't know if they've been announced yet, but some very exciting fixtures that we're really looking forward to. So yeah, we're really excited about the year ahead.
Do you get a bit of a break over Christmas?
We have 2 weeks off over Christmas. We had a nice week off when we got back from Pakistan, but it is a quick turnaround. I think we head the third week in January over to South Africa. So yeah, it's all steam ahead at the moment.
Right, so how long will you be there for?
I think, so it depends on if we, hopefully we'll get out of our group stage, but we are guaranteed 4 games. And I think the last group game is the 22nd of February. I think now I'll definitely have to check that.
So definitely about a month anyway.
Yeah.
So. Brilliant. Laura, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us. We really appreciate it and wish you all the best for the year ahead.
Thank you so much for having me.
As we wrap up this episode, thank you to Ed and Laura for their insights today. And thank you to all who've listened to the Green Ball podcast regularly throughout the year. Remember to subscribe to the channel and keep up to date with all the episodes of the Green Ball podcast.